Okay, well, welcome to this morning's forum. There's a sheet in the back of the room, and today's forum is about trying to help protect yourself against cybersecurity threats, and specifically some phishing threats that might come. So we will go through this list, if you want to grab one from the back there. Phishing, with a PH, is meant to be like, I don't know where the name came from, but it's meant to be like the actual fishing. You're just throwing your line out there and hoping to catch something that's going to pay off in the end. So oftentimes they come in email. More and more they're coming in on phones and text messages. I haven't started getting too many of those yet, but mine are still primarily in email. And since I started thinking about hosting this forum in the last month, I've been saving the ones I've been getting, and I've got like about two a day. So I've got some nice examples to look through, and we can look through these. One point I wanted to make about this is that there are some technology solutions, and you can sign up with your internet service provider, and they might have an option on their screen that talks about anti-spam and stuff, and you can turn a checkbox on, we'll do the service. But I want to make the point that you, the human being, are many, many, many times more effective at stopping these than technology ever can, because the bad guys are always thinking up new ways to get around the technology. And there will always be a lag where they're ahead of the technology. So you are the most important aspect in this chain in trying to keep yourself safe. So I made this list of like general categories, and I did make this up all myself. I plagiarized it heavily from internet sources. Turn that on, see if that helps a little bit. But I've modified it to what I thought might be more helpful in that. So here's some general categories of things to look for when you get email messages of when they might cause you concern. If you see one of these categories, you should be very suspicious. If you see two or more, it's almost certainly a spam. And how those are regulated or differentiated. Spam is just trying to get you to buy something from them, versus phishing is trying to steal from you one way or the other, either your money or your bank accounts or things like that. Okay, so the first category, if you have ever replied to a phishing attempt using that email address you're now using or the mobile phone that you're replying to, then you're more likely from now on forever, as long as you use that email address. Because the bad guys, they will keep a database of people who have replied. Even real simple replies like, I don't understand what you're asking me. Well, they put you down that, okay, they got you, at least that far, that the initial steps, they were able to hook you in that far. Or even things like if they provide an unsubscribe link, if you click that unsubscribe link, they will now add you to their list and they will continue to hound you in the future.
Yeah. Do you want questions at the end or?
Questions while we're going, sure.
Okay, speaking of unsubscribing, sometimes I'll decide to get emails from a certain place and I get two or three a day and I get tired of it. So I want to get off the list, and usually at the bottom there's a
little bitty tiny print. Right. Is your unsubscribe link. So if it's a legitimate company, that's fine. Okay. Unsubscribe link and they'll honor it. So if it's a legitimate company that you ordered something from, and oftentimes I find before I push the submit order button, I look for a little checkbox that says, sign me up for your mailing list.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they don't provide it. They just start sending you their newsletter anyway. So I start from that day on, start getting lots of email marketing from them. So if it's a legitimate company, that's fine to unsubscribe.
Thank you.
All right. Second category of general things, if they use any kind of urgent or threatening language, in the email. So things like, you need to respond quickly. Your account is frozen. Respond in the next 2 hours. So anything, or hackers have your bank account information. Call us to protect it. So anything that is threatening there or is telling you to do something urgently or immediately, anything that causes you anxiety while you're reading it, that is all intended to have your lizard brain kick in, your safety, and start overriding your common sense brain and saying, this doesn't quite make sense. So that's what they're trying to do.
Verify your account is the, in some ways, the keywords you should look for. Almost never will your bank, Amazon, Target, anybody ask you to verify your account.
We'll get there.
Okay.
So, pressure to respond quickly. Threats, like closing your account. They're going to take legal action on you. The IRS is going to arrest you. Reporting you to authorities. Publishing webcam video. If anyone has ever done anything in their house that you wouldn't want broadcast to everyone in the world, within sight of a web camera on your computer, they're trying to elicit that kind of response from you, a fear. Don't Google Jeffrey Toobin. So, technical support. You have a virus. You get a pop-up. Your computer has a virus. Call this number to help us fix it. So again, that virus is trying to cause you anxiety and fear. Or related to current events, like a natural disaster, Ukraine refugees. Act now to help. So again, trying to push some urgency on you, some timeliness.
Yeah.
Okay, request for your sensitive personal or financial information. So your name, your social security number, your birth date, your bank account numbers, or any of your login accounts, your computer login or passwords, credit card number, anything like that. And as Aaron said, what they often will get you to do is, we need to verify your Google account. What's your Google username? Well, if it was Google calling you, they know your username and they shouldn't have to ask you for it. And they will never, the real life Google people will never ask you for your Google password. Sometimes what they will do is they'll send you to a fake website to have you enter it, but it's not the real Google, it's a fake website, and then you're now typing in your username and password for the bad guys. So anytime you hear any of those things, we want your name, your social security number, your bank account number, your password or your credit card number. That's a huge red flag, and right away you should say, this is almost certainly a scam. Aaron?
A note on fake websites, because sometimes they do look really, really legit and it can be hard to spot. Don't feel bad if you get caught on one of these, but the thing to know is, if you believe you've ended up on a fake website, I'll try to speak loudly enough for a break. If you believe you've ended up on a fake website, even if you don't hit submit, if you type in your information, but you don't hit submit, you go, wait a second, they could still have gotten your information. So if you get that far, you go, wait a second, this is suspicious, I don't think this is legitimate, contact whoever it is that would be actually the website owner through other means and get your password reset and that sort of thing, via credit card, or whatever you enter, because they can send it off while you're typing it.
Yes.
The same way that when you're typing in Google, you know how it'll suggest stuff? That's based off of what you type. They'll do the same thing with fake password fields, fake username fields. So just know that.
Okay, and then the third bullet on this general type, any type of financial transaction. So if they're asking you anything about gift cards, credit cards, your bank account, direct deposit, cryptocurrency, cryptocurrency is Bitcoin, most often you'll hear it, or the online payment services, PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, or Zelle. You hear any of that, hang on. You right away, or delete that message. That's almost certainly a scam. And these last couple are specific websites that what they do is they transfer money between people. And they're instantaneous and you can't cancel them. So that's why the bad guys like them over bank accounts, because you can put a freeze on your bank account if you write a check. but once you send money to someone on Venmo, it's gone, and they're gone with your money. Okay, next general category, anything too good to be true? Winning the lottery. A Nigerian prince has $3 million he wants to give you, and just have you hold on to him while he, and then he'll ask for it back. And again, what they're hoping is that you're thinking, oh, I'm going to scam him. I'm going to keep his $3 million. Well, the part they don't tell you up front is you have to pay $2,000 to open the bank account for them to put the $3 million in, and you'll never see that $2,000 again. Gift cards, direct deposit. Oh, no. There we go. Winning a lottery, prizes you must pay to receive, an inheritance. I get these. In fact, I got one in the last month about so-and-so died without a next of kin, and they chose me of all the people on the internet. Oh, that was really nice. They want to give me his inheritance. Or holding or distributing someone else's money. A good, nice Christian lady, she wants to give me $10 million that I will give to other nice Christian beneficiaries. And again, all I need to do is send a couple thousand to open the bank account so she can contribute there. So, anything like that. If you get an unexpected email, receipt for something you didn't purchase, call this number. This seems to be one of the most popular ones right now, and what I see is Geek Squad invoices. Here's a Geek Squad invoice. $300 we're going to charge your credit card for another year of Geek Squad. And, if you want to talk about this transaction or cancel it, just call this number. And they email you the number. And these are legitimate numbers, 800 or 888, toll-free numbers. But scammers can get a toll-free number like that, just like that, and they can pay for it and then drop it that afternoon and get a new one. So never call these numbers that you get in email.
Amazon invoices, I've gotten a lot of those as well.
Okay, I'm not getting Amazon. I'm mostly getting Geek Squad.
Where's your new iPhone? Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
If anyone see your package is being held at the post office, please verify your address.
So that one, yeah.
Actually, come to the text.
So, and things, we get packages now at our doorstep more often than pre-COVID. So, all of that, yes, is things that they're going on. So, anything you didn't expect that you didn't order is almost certainly a scam, and you can just delete it. Joyce?
The ones that I get are generally after I've gotten the message from Amazon that it has been delivered, and then I'll get something on my text saying that we could not deliver it, and you know, we need more information, or maybe something was wrong. I can't remember. Okay. I haven't gotten one for a while, but it's both the ones I've gotten have been after I've gotten an email from Amazon saying that it has been delivered.
And probably that's just coincidental. The bad guys don't know that you got something.
Knew that.
No, but how often do you get something delivered?
A lot.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Once or twice a week. So it's just coincidental. Well, I don't know. I get something a couple times a week at our doorstep. So it's probably coincidental more than anything that about the same time you get one of the bad guys trying to trick you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's not to my address. It's to another state.
California, Texas. Oh, okay. Let's see. Information mismatch. And I'll show you here on some examples. If the email you get, you can hover your mouse over them, and you can see where they're trying to send you to. So let me come back to this category when we start looking at the examples here. Suspicious attachments. You get attachments you didn't ask for. File names that are weird, so oftentimes they're random characters. 34HBXZ2. Something like that. So real companies don't send file names like that. They send invoice.pdf. So anything you get with a weird file name is suspicious. And then uncommon file types, HTML or DOC or XLS files, things like that. When you click them, they can start running stuff on your computer. The most common one is PDF, which is a portable document format. Everybody understands it. Most companies will send invoices or order confirmations as PDFs, and you can, it's safe to click on those, but don't click the things inside necessarily. Unprofessional design. So I'm seeing less of this, but early on, if you see blurry logos or things, I guess I'll go ahead and show some examples here. For instance, this whole thing. Comcast. Okay. So if the graphics look a little blurry or off, or if the whole message is a picture like that, so that's an indication the scammers have just taken a picture of a legitimate website and resent it to you. Real companies will put a logo in the top, but it'll be a high quality one. It won't be blurry. A lot of time the scammers are foreigners, and so their English is not very good. So any kind of grammatical error you see is suspicious right off. And I can't remember one of them there. Yeah, that one looks okay. So any kind of grammar error is a suspicious. It's not saying it's automatically bad, but oftentimes it is. Sometimes Americans don't use very good grammatical English as well. And then the final category, if anything seems off. Okay, so if I get an email from Pastor Laura that says I should call her to ask her so she can update her bank account, direct deposit, paycheck information with me, but she's in a meeting. Don't call her. Only email her at this address that isn't her actual address. So anything that seems off, seems that person wouldn't ask that kind of a thing, seems unusual. And then the sender tone. So if it's coming from a person you know, and it may be their actual address that you know because a scammer has stolen their email address and has been able to log in as that person. But the tone doesn't sound right. That isn't how that person talks. It isn't asking the kind of things that you have a personal relationship with that person that is normal. So anything like that. And okay. On that, yeah, Bev.
Okay. There's a person in our church who has been hacked at least once, and another time got them from her, and then just yesterday got something, and I thought, oh, there's an email from blah, blah, blah. And so I clicked on it and opened the email, and it said, pictures from Wednesday, and then the link. So I hovered over the address.
Yes.
Wasn't that person?
Okay.
Now, am I?
You're okay because you didn't click that link. Yeah.
Okay, and so I just deleted the email. But as long as you don't click on anything in the email.
Correct.
Almost all the time.
So for the purposes of this discussion, nearly always, just clicking the email itself to view it is okay.
So when is it not?
It's hard to say. Basically, there are specific attacks if they target vulnerability. Like, let's say you use Outlook. If there's a particular vulnerability that they target in Outlook, there's not a whole lot you can do. There have been cases that usually get patched very quickly. I'll say this because they're very hard to defend against. But there are limited cases where just opening an email has exposed a vulnerability. Preview renders and that sort of thing. There's a lot of times you'll see in emails, it'll say like we're not displaying the pictures for whatever reason, or we're not pulling the links from wherever else. It's to protect against phishing and that sort of thing. If they say we haven't downloaded the images on this email, a lot of times that's because scammers will use that to verify whether it's valid. So generally speaking, if you don't open the images, if you don't open the links, you should be fine. Anything else is above your pay grade per se.
Yeah. So I guess that's what I want to say. Just for the most part, if you just click the email, and as he said, in that particular case, if it's a Microsoft email program, Outlook, they'll have it fixed, you know, real quick.
Now, you mentioned something else, which was that you hovered over the email it came from, and it wasn't actually the email. So this is a thing that can happen with email, where you can spoof the originating email address. So it's possible that your friend actually wasn't hacked at all, but there are somebody's impersonating them. And unfortunately, that's something that can happen with email.
So in that case, what you should do is pick up the phone from the church directory that you know is a good phone number and talk to that person and say, you need to change your Google, your Gmail, or your Hotmail password right away because it's sending out stuff that you didn't send.
So in the case I'm talking about, changing your password wouldn't actually solve it, but it almost never hurts to precautionary go, yeah, go ahead and change your password. And we have had that where one person's email gets popped, and then they send, you know, their email address sends around a bunch of email to a bunch of other people, and then, oh, what do you know, next week, you know, this other church member over here is sending out the same sort of junk, right? And it's because it didn't turn that off, and that's how these things spread. It almost never hurts to change your password.
So good for you for being suspicious, because that person doesn't normally send you emails and say, see my pictures from Wednesday. So good, there's a suspicious red flag right there. Okay, so on your back of your sheet, precautions you should do with all these things. The first one is like phone calls. I don't know about you all, my practice at my home is if we don't recognize the number, we don't pick it up. Just plain, and if it's important, they'll leave a message and then I'll call them back. But if it's a phone number I don't recognize, I don't pick it up. And if you see it's a local area code, 425-206-253, and it says unknown number, then immediately that is spam. That's suspicious, because all of the local area codes that the phone company knows who they are. So instead of where we can go in and type St. Andrew's Lutheran Church is tied to our phone numbers, the bad guys type in unknown. So it's a local area code and you see unknown, right away it's a scammer. You know that for sure.
So I've gotten ones that say private caller.
Private might be a legitimate person, right, that just doesn't want to show it. But again, I would say if it's really important that they want to talk to you, they'll leave a message.
I think one of the things that the phone companies must have done something in the last few years, because when it comes in, those things spam and then it'll.
Oh, okay.
And so if I don't know it, I don't look at it. It's somebody I talk to all the time, but I don't recognize the number, I don't answer. But the funny one, I was sitting in front of them 2 or 3 years ago, I got a call and. It was from Dean's number, and he was standing beside me.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes.
Oh, my own number. My own number. My phone is ringing. It's my phone number calling me.
So the bad guys can make that caller ID say whatever they want.
Oh, I see.
Oh.
Because anyway,
So this is another... They can put in whatever they want, so which is why they put in different phone numbers, or they put in, they're calling from Russia, they're calling you from Russia very potentially, but they put in something with a 425 area code to make you say, oh, it's something local, so you might pick it up.
They do the same with emails. I've gotten so many emails.
We'll look at the emails, yeah, from yourself,
yeah.
Okay, other things. Assume the people and companies you are talking to are not really who they say they are. Just as a general precaution.
It's terrible to live that way.
It is, and I hate to say that. You see, I'm pained to say that, but anyone that especially contacted you first, you just got to be really suspicious about who they say that they are.
It was quasi-legitimate. Petition thing. I was trying to get hold of a window company, right? So I went to their site and I was trying to get a bid from them. So I was putting information, say this
contact me about a bid. But what had happened was somebody put a pop-up over their website, made it look like I was still on their website, typing in information to them. And then I got calls from every window company in the tri-state
area. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize until after I hit submit, thinking I was talking to one company, that I actually hit their website popped back up, and I was never talking to them. I was talking to some other
right. Path. So semi-legitimate. They were window companies. You hadn't expressed an interest in a window company. And
yeah, but it wasn't then. It was
other window companies are now calling
all,
you. So.
All I give all of the people the quiet act about the people you went through, they're not nice. You're off my bidding list.
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
You lost the six-figure bid or five-figure bid because you use this company. It's not
yep. Okay, reach out to the person or company through an official channel published on their website. So in an email we'll send you, you've got a virus, this is Microsoft, you've got a virus, call this number. Well, first off, Microsoft doesn't do that. They don't send you emails that you have virus. But if you were really worried about it, forget that phone number, call up Microsoft's website, look for their phone number, and then call them and say, hey, you sent me an email that says I've got a virus. Do I really? And they will tell you, no, we never send stuff like that. So there, end of conversation there.
If you do have a virus in Microsoft Access on your Windows PC, not on your Mac, obviously, typically Windows Defender will have a little pop-up in the corner. It'll say Windows Defender that it found something or whatever, but it's not going to be like a full pop-up.
And it's not going to blink red, it's not going to open 38 different windows, one in front of the other, so you can't get back to what
and
you were
you
doing.
If you click on that thing, it'll open up in like the settings, control panel sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's much more solid. Similarly with websites.
Yeah.
That's the one where I had to get a couple of people, out of a situation because they popped something up on a website that said you've been infected. Call this number for tech support. And they did, and yeah, that whole fun thing with canceled checks and whatnot, so.
Okay, so yes, ask a friend or family member about suspicious messages. Those of us that are in the industry, we don't mind you asking, is this okay? And then we'll give you some guidance on looking at that and saying or not. So, that's okay if you have a trusted family or friend member you can call.
Ask early. That's the other piece of advice.
Yeah.
We much prefer that you bug us early than after the check's already been sent in the mail.
Real life scenario, prefer that before. I told the bank to wire $12,000 to Thailand. Was that okay?
Yeah.
And so somewhere before that point.
Yeah, okay. You get it 3 days before, not 3 days after you've already sent the money.
Yes, so.
That helps a lot.
Call the sender on a number you know is good. Again, back to if it's coming from a company purportedly, go to the company website, get that phone number on their website.
Yes.
Call them that way. Slow down and trust your gut. So ignore the, you've got a virus. We're going to have the IRS is going to arrest you. Your account is frozen. This bill, this $400 bill is posting to your account today. Ignore all that. Take a deep breath. Look at it. Trust your gut and say, does everything look on the up and up about this or is something off based on these things here? And be very skeptical of links or phone numbers you get that are sent to you versus you going out to Comcast website or Google's or Microsoft's. Okay, so let's...
Just a real quick funny story?
Yeah.
Okay, I
like funny stories that don't involve people losing their life savings.
I got a call one day, and it was somebody from Amazon, and they asked me if I had ordered a $900 PC or whatever, and I said, no, don't you know anybody in Texas that did? No. And I knew right away that was a scam. Anyway, they said, well, we need you to go out and get this app. And even in the name of the app, it was very suspicious. I said, okay, just a minute. Well, my son was there, and he came in, and he started talking to this person. He said, really? really? And he said, you know, we need to let the Bothell police know about this, because this is terrible if someone's doing that. So the guy stayed on the phone. My son called the Bothell police and got a hold of the fraud person there, and it's this woman, and she's, so anyway, she hung up, and then my son said, you need to get a real job and stop going around and harassing old ladies. Thank you, sir.
Well, I
helped somebody through with that exact same situation.
I actually talked to one for a little bit, you know, it was online with a church staff person, and who was supposedly PayPal, and was talking to him, and I, by the time I finally got on the call, I said, wait, you want what? And then I just hung up on him and unplugged the network cord on the computer. But I thought, the next time I'm talking, I'm going to say, your mother is crying in heaven.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to tell
you. What I found really strange is that the guy stayed on the line even when the woman was on the line.
The more sophisticated ones, they are very cool-headed.
They're cool-headed, and man, they've got an answer for everything.
I need to call Amazon. Absolutely. You go ahead and do that. Here's the number you can call us back at.
Yeah, and it's their supervisor is,
But I mean, I have had one where I said,
they're very calm, they're quick on their feet.
And they said, oh yeah, no, that's fine, because they know that's the answer that will disarm you, and then you go, oh, they must be legitimate if they're willing to let me do that. Now, when you do that, you go, like I did this, I went and got in through the individual on something, their Amazon site, and sure enough, there's no purchase from Amazon there. I go, are there any others? Well, maybe this one or this one, but I don't use that one. Nothing. But yeah, they were willing to stay on the line. They spent a good 30 minutes on that phone, hoping to get that helpline ticker.
Yeah. Okay, so while we get this one open, first off, one of the things I told you here was about misspellings. So can you see the name here? C space, O-M space, C-A-S-T. So what they're doing, the scammers are purposely misspelling Comcast so that search engines that are looking for Comcast that say, oh, but you're not from Comcast. So they're trying to fool the technology that's trying to save you. So they're intentionally misspelling Comcast in that case. And it may be hard to see, but the type name is from Comcast, and yet the email address is cartglued@ifa.aso.com. Well, if it were actually from Comcast, it would be from comcast.com. So we know right away. Let's see. And leave my honest feedback and win. Okay, and this is where if you put your mouse over it, and you just hover, but don't click. If you just hover, you know, down here in the lower section, it'll show you where that link is going to go to. And in this case, it's fghbdfbd88.co. So it's not comcast.com. So right away, that says, oh, that's a scam. Comcast is not sending you to somewhere that's a website that's not comcast.com.
Just remember what we learned last night is there's a new little trick, maybe not new, but it's a trick where they say .corn, because C-O-R-N, if you just glance on it, look like .com, and your brain will expect to see .com. So you have to be really careful. It could be comcast.corn. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, very tricky.
So I don't, let's see. Oh, well, I didn't prep this part. But on this part where you see any kind of address, there's a whole bunch of stuff, but right in front of the slash here, what you're looking for is the last two things in front of that first slash. So The second to the last thing, we'll say a company name. It'll be Comcast or Google or Microsoft or Geek Squad or Best Buy. And then the last thing before the slash will be .com, .org.
There's a whole lot of them now.
A whole lot. There's more, but it'll be something legitimate. So what you're looking at is just those two parts. So in the case of St. Andrews, it's salc.church. And everything from us will come from something at salc.church. Everything from Microsoft will come from microsoft.com. There could be a whole bunch of stuff on the front of that, and then a slash, and then a whole bunch of weird stuff on the end of it. And none of that matters. What's important is the stuff right before that first slash. Those two parts. And if it's not the company you're expecting, automatically you know it's spam right away. Okay. This one, I got a couple good ones just in the last day or two. Okay. Pity in my soul. Oh, that's nice. This is from Ina. She's 32 years old, and she just wants a serious relationship with a decent man. She doesn't want, let's see, she's not looking for sex talk. She just wants a decent man for a serious relationship. And send me your photos. Of course, you know, this is really a really ugly 28-year-old in Pakistan, I tell you. So,
A man.
Or Russia. Yeah. So none of this is real. So things like that. And oh, and by the way, there's an attachment.
Don't click on the attachment.
No, he clicked on.
Well, I clicked on this little link that just dropped it down. I did not click on it itself. And so this one is a JPEG attachment. JPG. Can you embed active content in JPEG? Is it possible? You shouldn't click on it.
The thing is, so that says it's .jpg, but whether it's actually a JPEG or not.
General rule, don't click on these.
Don't click it. I'm not sure about JPEGs. Other stuff, it's okay. Yeah, don't do it.
But if you could. But if you did, see, she's a doctor, for crying out loud, and she just wants a serious relationship.
They sent you an additional link here. They're just hoping to get you to respond.
Yeah.
Some pictures you can embed content in. Other times it will be like, it says JPEG or PNG or something, and it's not actually that.
Okay.
This used to be the case with like PDFs. So they're just trying to get you to open something.
Yeah. Okay, here's one. Oh, from Faith Action Network and Prayer Vigils.
Well, that one might legitimately be from Faith Action Network.
Well, don't get in my thunder. Okay, so looking at the address here, it says Faith Action Network. It's from something at fanwa.org. Oh, the other two things we talked about in a web address. You're going to look at those last two things before the slash, the Microsoft.com. In an email address, you're looking at the things after the at sign. So you should say the same thing here, fanwa.org. And if I call up a web browser, again, I'm not clicking a link. I'm calling up a separate web browser, and then I'm typing fanwa.org. And it actually is a Faith Action Network website. So any red flags here? Okay, so they're asking for money. So you look at it and say, yeah, this one probably looks okay. Let's see. Something else from Xfinity. Here's your Xfinity confirmation. Okay, this email address is at alerts.comcast.net. So that looks okay. Company name, comcast.net. Here's my order confirmation. and it's telling me my service is confirmed. Oh, here's the thing, it knows my actual name, Kurt. So sometimes in my personal email address, which is, sometimes they figure it out. Oh, my first name's Kurt. But oftentimes it'll just, the email from the scammers will say, "Dear Kurt Letterman," because they're just taking my email address, which they already know because they send me an email. But in this case, it actually says Kurt, just the four letters Kurt. Anything else look suspicious there? So that is a green flag. They can know my actual first name. It's actually coming from Comcast.net. Ultimate TV Fast, all kinds of stuff, and I think somewhere down in here, And FYI, I ordered new internet service that day. So, okay, so that all looks good. Oh, this one. Okay, this is a new kind of scam. It's just started pretty recently. So it's coming from service@paypal.com. So that part's good. It's got a little PayPal logo. It's got my actual name. So Kurt Letterman. So that's all sounding good. They know my actual name. But I don't know Salvador Canales. I don't know him. And he sent me a money request through PayPal. So he wants me to send him $489.99 through PayPal. But when he did that, he sent me this request to my PayPal address. He also sent a note. You can send a note when you request money from PayPal. So legitimate uses of this. You went out to dinner with friends last night and you agreed to split the bill, and the bill was $50 for that other couple you went to. So you send a PayPal request to them, $50, and you say, "This was, here's the note, this is for the dinner we had last night. This is your share of the dinner." That's a legitimate use of sending a PayPal money request. In this case, Salvador Canales, if that is his real name, sent this note along with here. So recognize that everything in the quote marks here, he wrote. The bad guy wrote, not PayPal. And he's sending me, he wants $489 in Bitcoin from my PayPal. And if you did not make this transaction, call this number. So a couple things going on there. From PayPal's perspective, they just forwarded on to me that someone asked me for $489. Nothing has happened yet. I can safely just delete this message and nothing will happen. But Salvador Canales is telling me that I have already been charged $489, and if that wasn't my intent, then I should call this 888 number. And that's where you start getting into the spam site, into the scam. They're scamming you from that point. So any questions how that works? This is a new one I've started seeing only recently. And they don't even know if I have a PayPal account. They just have my email address, and they send it to PayPal and say, "Oh, here, try this email address. Try this email address." And one of them will hit.
So you would just, so in this situation, you could just go sign on to your own PayPal account and see that obviously nothing's been charged.
You can?
Yes. If you were suspicious, but it's so obviously scam.
Yes.
You will see a request. Assuming you have a PayPal account, you will see a request.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
But she's saying you can go log on to your PayPal and see that no, $489 has not gone out of your account yet. But this $489 request is sitting there.
They're hoping either you click that link at the bottom that says pay this request,
right,
or that you ignore that and go, "Oh no, it's been accessed fraudulently, I'll call this number." And
I'll call that 800
number. They'll probably be the one through clicking that button.
Joyce, yeah.
With PayPal, when I order something from PayPal, I usually get an email saying that there's been a transaction, and I know that it's my own transaction. If I got something like this, I would know I had not done a PayPal
transaction.
transaction.
Right, but...
And therefore, what are you going to do then?
I just delete it.
There you go. And you're saying, that's fine.
I haven't...
This is the first one I've gotten, and it was just Friday.
Yeah, this is a different type of use of PayPal, and you'll see this a lot of times. If anybody uses Venmo, this is more common through Venmo.
Yeah.
Like Kurt said, we go out to dinner, Kurt pays the bill, I'm paying Kurt back, or I pay the bill, and instead of Kurt initiating the transaction, me, I request it from him and say, hey, you owe me $50 for dinner.
Yeah, and that's
so,
more common through Venmo.
Yeah, well, it's
been around longer with Venmo. It's just
I think PayPal probably
I got this Friday, so
yeah,
it's first one that I've seen in of this format. So.
Yeah, and Venmo's had this issue more, and they've had to deal with particularly with the fraudulent requests. Any sort of financial transaction company like these, they've been dealing with this, and it's a persistent problem.
So is there PayPal and Venmo? What else is there?
Zelle, Venmo, Cash PayPal, Cash App are the big ones. But again, they all involve transferring money between people on the internet. Okay, I need to wrap up. Are there any final questions?
Just another comment. I recently bought a landline phone.
Yes.
And it has a bunch of automatic call blocking things built into it, and also if you get a scam call, you can hit the block number button, and then it makes you confirm it, right?
So
then if it is another block call, it rings once and then just says block call.
Yeah.
It's very satisfying to know at least one ring call.
I'm letting you all know, my church friends, we don't answer the phone in our house.
Yeah,
we don't recognize the number.
Yeah.
So if we don't already recognize it, we don't pick it up. So,
right.
And if it's important, leave a message, because the spammers don't leave messages.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
that's a policy on myself.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. And be safe out there.